We have the end of, excuse me, the end of Joshua and the beginning of Judges. We have Joshua dying and the Israelites entering the promised land. The promise was first made to Abraham. In fact, go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12. Verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abram, later his name will be changed to Abraham, to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him with Lot, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth trees of Morah, and the Canaanites were then in the land. And keep these Canaanites in your mind, because we're going to see some interesting things about the Canaanites. Verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And so 685 years are going to pass before the promise is completed. Seems like a long time, doesn't it? How does the Lord perceive time?
1,000 years is one day.
1,000 years is one day. One day is 1,000 years. Somebody told me that, you know, when you go somewhere and leave your dogs at home, dogs don't process time like we do. We think, oh, we need to get home because they'll be so lonely. No, they just sleep. Or chew up stuff or, you know, make a mess. But we live in a universe of change or time. You can't recognize time without change, right? What does God? What state does God live in?
Eternity.
And so, what is life like in eternity? Now, there's you something to chew around on, right? When we get to heaven, will one day be like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day? You ever thought about that?
Time doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. It will be the same for those in eternity, because in eternity there is no time. There's no night, day. In fact, no sun or moon. There's now. Forever. That's about, I just told you more than I know about what eternity will be like. And so the seed promise was that one of Abraham's descendants would what? Yeah. All mankind, yeah. But the land promise was that his descendants would be given a land, Canaan. And so, well, I said we're beginning Judges. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about what I was reading, yesterday. Okay, back to Joshua 1. Excuse me. I was getting a week ahead. Back to Joshua 1. Joshua's taking over. Joshua's going to lead the people into the promised land. What's the secret to the formula for him conquering, he and the Israelites, conquering the land? What is the secret? What is one necessity they must have?
God.
Which requires them to have faith in God, right? Excuse me. And so through the book of Joshua, we see this incredible lesson on faith. Look at the first verses of the book of Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. By the way, so God is speaking directly to Joshua. What does that make him? A prophet, right? God speaks to prophets. And they speak his word. The Lord spoke to Joshua, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which you're going to conquer on your own. He never, ever tells them that. To the land which I am giving to you, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, into the great sea. Which sea would that be? Mediterranean. To the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. Excuse me. So I will be with you. Now this is an incredible promise. I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are we made the same promise?
Yes.
Yeah. God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Does that mean you're always going to be with the Lord?
The Lord will always be with you.
Yeah. We can walk away from the Lord, but the Lord will never walk away from us. As we walk in the light. Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law. Now, what book of the law did they have? At this particular time, what did they have? Okay, the law of Moses. Which books of the Old Testament did they have? Yeah, the first five. You know, tuk means law, penta means five. So sometimes you'll hear this described as the Pentateuch. That's the first five books. Who wrote those? We read about that in our reading this week, didn't we? Moses wrote them. He wrote the first five books. Did they have the prophets yet? Did they have the book of wisdom? Did they have 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles? No. They have the first five books. And what specifically is he referring to here? Which book?
Leviticus.
Yeah, Leviticus. And a lot of it's repeated in, basically all of it's repeated in Deuteronomy. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Why? Here it is again. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so in these nine verses, the groundwork is laid. The formula for success is given. So what's their responsibility? Yeah. Be true to God, Jehovah God. Be true to Him. Is that true for us? Now, we don't live according to the law of Moses. We don't have any Israelites in here, right? This covenant that was made on Mount Sinai, what was the covenant? Bottom line, what was the covenant? Is the covenant the law of Moses? Yeah. I'll be your God. You shall be my people. What was their responsibility? Do all that the Lord has said. That's the covenant. That's the marriage, if you will. And then the law defined how they would be true to God. The terms of the covenant. And so, be true to it. It didn't take them long to have some tests of faith, right? What amazed you about when they crossed the Jordan River? What was the most amazing part of that to you? Now, before that happened, they sent a couple of spies to spy out where?
Jericho.
And so in that account, in chapter 2, we're introduced to a prostitute, Rahab. How would you describe Rahab? God-fearing. That's a really good description. How else? What else could we say about Rahab? Excuse me?
Friendly to the Jews.
Yes.
She was brave.
She was courageous, yes. Because she knew, you know, the spies ended up at her house. And so, you know, we're in a small town, Jericho. It was big for them, but it's small for us. And so, did y'all know that in small towns, everybody knows everybody else's business? Did y'all know that? Of course. That's the way it works.
She was aware that God was leaving those people because of what they had done for other nations.
That's exactly right. In fact, here in chapter 2, look at verse 8. Now, before they lay down, the spies, she's hid them. She's, you know, going to hide them in the stalks of flax on her roof. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men. Now, watch for faith just dripping off the words. I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. What did she know? The same thing everybody should have known, right? For we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God. Now, the word Lord, is it in capitals? What does that mean? Huh? Yeah. What does that mean, Roger?
The God is the God of the people and is the Lord God Almighty Jehovah.
Yes. Yes. I mean, this isn't just L, like any other pagan god or whatever. This is the covenant name of God.
Look at that verse 10, though. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. So that's been, do you think that was a year ago? No, that's 40 years ago. 40 years ago.
Yeah. 40 plus years ago.
Yeah. I wasn't even born. You know, her mama was a toter about it. I mean, we don't know.
Right. Yes. Man, oh man. And so don't you know that as the Israelites moved around the south end of the Dead Sea through Edom and the other countries there, don't you know the people are like, oh no. At least we got the Jordan River. They can't cross that. And others were going, I don't know about that.
Hard now, to see what the chance that the river had.
Yeah. And when they crossed the river, what state was the river in?
Flood.
It was the flood stage. Now, I've seen pictures of the Jordan River. I would love to go there someday, but not right now, right? But I would love to go there someday because there's places. The Jordan River in the dry season is just very small. You can wade across it, but not in the flood stage.
Well, that's the way the Washita is. I've seen cows and pigs floating down it too.
Yeah, the Washita River, same way, yeah. Now, this is just the river that comes out of the Sea of Galilee. And if you walk from the Sea of Galilee down the bank, what are you walking through? Desert. Desert to the Dead Sea. But yeah, that's a great point. The word's out. And everyone is afraid. But does everyone look at Israel the way Rahab did? No. Verse 12. Oh, at the end of verse 11. For the Lord your God, Jehovah your God, Yahweh your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord Since I have shown you kindness, that you also show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sister, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Here's what's interesting. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Hebrews 11 is basically the Hall of Fame of the faithful. Not all of them, but the writer of Hebrews wants them to understand faith. And in the first three verses, he defines what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What had Rahab seen? Did she have any evidence about Jehovah God, though? Yeah, she had plenty of evidence. Everyone knew about the Red Sea crossing. Everyone in Jericho knew about that. Everyone knew about them defeating some of the most powerful warrior kings of the day. They knew about that. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which were not made of things which are visible. And so God created everything from nothing. Now, as you read through this list of great people of faith, or people of great faith, let me put it that way. Look at verse 30 here in Hebrews 11. Verse 30. By faith, well, look at verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, what is faith? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Here's something really interesting that's said here. Does anything in verse 31 jump out at you? Now, did the inhabitants of Ai and Jericho and probably all of the Promised Land, did they know what the Israelites had done by the power of their God? Yeah. Did they believe it?
No.
Did they believe in God? What did they believe in? Their gods. Their military might. Did they have questions? Were they afraid? Were their hearts melting? Yes. But they didn't believe in God as the one and only God. And that's what Rahab said back in Joshua 2 verse 11. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. What is she saying about all those pagan gods? Exactly.
That's like you and I talked about, if they would have took and looked at the plagues and where they were directed, they would understand your God and stand a chance against the mighty Jehovah.
Exactly. And Rogers, and I was talking that day, and Roger said, you know, all those plagues individually were pointed at those pagan gods. They all had a tie to pagan gods. That's interesting, isn't it?
The NIV indicates that she called
So she called the spies. Yes, yes. And that was her point here in verse 11. Rahab was different because she said, I know some things here.
This is a lot like the woman at the well story.
Yeah.
She knew the history. She knew what it was. But
she does call him your God in verse 11.
Yeah. Yeah, and because he was the God of the Israelites, but she believed that he was the God of heaven above and earth beneath. Not Molech, not Baal, not Ashtoreth, none of those. Now, where else do we read about Rahab in the Bible? Yeah, look at Matthew 1. Now, if religious leaders were writing the genealogy today, I would be shocked if they included Rahab in that. Wouldn't you? Matthew 1, verse 5. Simon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begat Jesse. Who was Jesse? Father of David. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah, Bathsheba. And so, you get down to verse 16, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Guess who's in the lineage of Christ? The family tree. A prostitute who repented of her sins. She's not an Israelite, no. Huh?
Canaanite.
Yeah. And so, but she was a person of faith.
Well, it starts out at the very beginning. It starts out with Gentiles. Abraham was a Gentile. He was not a Jew.
Yeah. Why do we call them Israelites? That's a good point, Roger.
The Jews come from Judea. And so with that, Joshua says he's from the other side of the river, which meant the Euphrates. So they start out that way, and that's part that's not ever understood. I mean, it's a part that would be argued with a lot of people, but no, it started out from the other side of the river.
Yeah.
The mighty God Jehovah, they were the first to convert.
So where did the name Israelites come from?
When they became a nation.
Well, yeah. God changed his name.
So Abraham had a son. What was his name?
Isaac.
And then Isaac had a couple of sons. What were their names? Jacob and Esau. And Esau and his mom tricked his dad into him getting the birthright. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I meant. Esau, Jacob and Esau. Esau didn't get the birthright. Jacob and his mom tricked dad into giving him. Right? So Jacob hightailed it out of town, didn't he?
But it was all God's will.
It's all God's will. And so the time came when Jacob was alone in a little creek bed, is what we call it. What happened? Yeah. Had a wrestling match. And it was at that time that his name got changed. What did it get changed to? Israel. And so Israel, or Jacob, had 12 sons. Now, when we look at the 12 tribes of Israel, the Israelites, are the 12 sons, did they each have one of those allotments of land?
Yeah,
not quite. Yeah, no, it was a little different, wasn't it? Because Joseph, there's not a tribe called Joseph. So what happened there?
His two sons got
Ephraim and Manasseh. His sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, got his inheritance. And then the Levites didn't get, that tribe did not get an inheritance of a land or a state, if you will, but they got one. What was that?
They got some cities and some plots.
Yeah, they got cities with the land around the city. And so you have 12 allotments of land, but only 10 of the sons, those allotments are named after the dad. Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph's sons, got the other two, 12 tribes. And so what made the Israelites so strong? Rahab knew, didn't she? She had no doubt. Now, look at chapter 3 here in Joshua. So now they're going to cross the Red Sea. They're going to cross the Jordan River. All right, Joshua chapter 3. Let's start at verse 14. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is behind, that is beside Zarethan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, that's the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Now I got a question. Did they follow right behind the ark and the priest? They stayed in the river. So you get this picture in your mind. Where did the Israelites cross? The rest of them. In your reading, you saw that they were not supposed to get closer than what? To the ark.
2,000 cubits.
Huh?
2,000 cubits.
Was it 2 or 3?
I think it was 2.
I don't remember exactly where. I don't have my daily Bible. Yeah, 2,000. You're right. Verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And so this is what I was thinking of. 2,000 cubits is about 3,000 feet. How many feet's in a mile?
5,280.
So we're talking about well over a half a mile. They were to keep that separation from the ark. And so where did they cross?
Downstream.
Way downstream. But that's not the picture I had in my mind until I read it this time, and that kind of jumped out at me again. And so the riverbeds not only dry where the priests are, the riverbeds dry how far? Down to the Dead Sea.
Well, they crossed opposite of Jericho. So.
Yeah, but they were still a half a mile. They were a half a mile downstream from where the priests were. Well, I mean, you're talking about a half a mile. I mean, it's not like 20 miles downstream. It's a half a mile. And so, but nevertheless, why were they to remain that far away from the ark? What was God teaching them here?
Reverence.
Reverence.
Obedience.
Obedience.
You have to figure out a lot of people, too. Like 600,000 people or so in it. So that's a lot of people crossing the creek. Right?
Yeah, it's just the men.
Yeah. That's a lot of people crossing, so you need a pretty yeah. wide path anyway.
And there was probably more women and children than men, would be my guess. That's just a guess. But here you have this incredible thing happening. And so then there's 12 stones that are taken out of the riverbed. And look at chapter 4 here, verse 6 and 7. So Joshua, verse 4. Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them. By the way, were they worshiping the stones?
No,
the stones were reminding them of the one they did worship. And so this is not like a pagan altar. That this shall be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel. And so was it for the old folks that day? Generations to come.
Are they still there?
Are they still there? I don't know.
It makes you think they must be large because it said, take out a stone on his shoulder. I mean, so they should think maybe they were large enough that they had to have, balance them on the shoulder.
Yeah. And so all along the way, later, they're going to set up a stone pile, and Moses is going to write something on it. What did he write on it?
Law.
The law. The law. And the law wasn't 10 commandments. The law was all of the commandments. And so he wrote everything out for them. Why? Some way to be faithful. They have to know the law. If they don't know the law, can they be faithful? No. Look here in chapter 4, verse 14. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Isn't that interesting? Now, when we define fear, we know that that includes deep respect, right? In this context, it would be deep, deep respect. And so isn't it significant that God gave the Israelites a leader to respect named Moses for 40 years. And now Moses is gone and he gives them another strong, godly leader. And they equally respect him. Here's the question. If you've read ahead, what happens when they no longer have a leader? They do the opposite of what Rahab did. Yeah. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, that'd be the Mediterranean Sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. And so, did they understand they were in trouble? Did they become people of faith? No. And so, in Joshua 5, verse 10, now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover until unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. My guess would be that they were really happy to eat some baked bread. And so we see this huge transition under Joshua's leadership. And then they have some problems. What was the big problem? What was the first big problem?
Achan.
And at Ai. Now, they were told to not take any of the gold, silver, bronze, steel, none of that. But he did. And isn't it interesting that his name is Achan? Isn't that interesting? Because he was going to be Achan. Well, we're out of time. I wish we could go through this. I love Joshua's prayer in chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. But we're out of time, and y'all keep reading. Remember, if you have questions or comments, text me during the week. I'd love that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for today, for all good things. We thank you for the blessings of today. And Father, we know you're the source. And Father, help us to be people of faith, never doubting that you are the one and true God of heaven above and all this earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.